The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are A.J. Taylor of KIOW in Forest City and Seth Boyes with the Dickinson County News. A.J., you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Mr. Grassley, President Biden has put out his latest budget proposal here, and some of this has a lot of entitlements and incentives. What are your thoughts here in general on this budget?
Well, whether you have a Republican or a Democrat president, under the Constitution, Congress disposes, the president proposes. So we have the power of the purse, and we're going to decide what's done or isn't done. But I do think that it's going to be an inflationary budget. You already have even Democrat economists saying that we're appropriating too much money. So that too much money is facing is going after too few goods, which leads to inflation. And I was elected to the Senate at a time when we had 13% inflation. Now, that's decades ago, and I don't want it to happen again, so I don't look very kindly on spending $6 trillion that's in this budget. Seth?
Sticking in that same vein, then, you recently wrote that the president's budget leaves out homegrown biofuels in favor of electric vehicles. So just kind of looking on the other side of the coin, do you feel like it's possible the budget might favor Iowa's wind producers if they start getting more and more of those on the grid?
Well, of course it will. I've been an author of the Wind Energy Tax Credit and alternative energy generally. And it's a mature industry, and we were phasing out ending in 2021, but now that's been extended to 2022, the phase out of the wind energy tax credit. This administration wants to continue for another 10 years. I don't think it's necessary, although I wouldn't fight going into it, but I don't think I should be one that would lead the battle like I did the first time we had wind energy proposals, because I promised people that we're going to phase it out, we wouldn't need it anymore after it became a mature industry. A.J. Taylor.
Sir, our vice president has made a trip down to Central America now to start negotiating with some of the countries that are down there with regards to the immigration issue. Is this the correct approach, or do we need to do this on a twofold basis, both attacking what we're getting right now across the border and trying to solve the problem down there as well, too? It seems like it's just one direction here.
Close the border, and it's okay to work with those countries. But if you work with these countries and don't close the border, we're not going to make much progress. One thing that's very certain, and I was at the border about 2 months ago, our Border Patrol briefed the transition team before Biden became president, leave things alone, just like they are. If you want to do things in an orderly way, bring them in one at a time and go through it. What they do, they open the border, so we have a crisis.
Locally, we had the state auditor had visited here in our region, and he had mentioned there might be a potential conflict between the federal government's kind of intention with the American Rescue Plan funds and Iowa's constitution, in that the state constitution doesn't allow counties to donate funds to nonprofits. So just kind of looking for your thoughts on that from the federal side, because he's thinking it might be possible to allow that as an option if a contract is on the books.
Well, are you talking about his complaining about the governor using money to urge people to get shots and wear masks and things like that? Is that what your question is?
Not that, though I had heard of that as well. But no, this was more when the American Rescue Plan dollars go to counties, that the state constitution might not allow them to give the funds to nonprofits that are doing work within the county itself.
Well, first of all, the Article 5 of the Constitution says that the Constitution is the law of the land and laws made under it, and treaties made under it. So anything that conflicts with the Constitution, the laws, and the treaties at the federal level, whether it's in a state constitution or local laws and ordinances, the federal government's going to rule. So the federal law putting that money out is what's going to have to be followed. AJ?
Sir, we're seeing a rise in violent crime across the country right now. And now we're learning that the Justice Department is starting to move funds away from law enforcement. Are there any thoughts on this as to why they're doing this and taking money away from the people who are trying to protect us?
Yeah, it's defund the police. Most of that's at the local level, because I imagine 99% of the funding for local police come at the local level or state level. But whatever's coming from the federal government, I think they want to de-emphasize it to show support for the progressives that believe we ought to defund the police. And Seth, before you ask your question, the part of the Constitution I was thinking of was what they call the Supremacy of the Law Clause. Now let's go to Seth for his question.
Okay. I think you're waiting until fall to announce your intention whether you'll run for re-election or not, but obviously you've still got a challenger already in the race. So any thoughts on that situation there? I know obviously there's some parallels in this case with him also being a farmer from a small town, but obviously you've also faced challengers before in your career.
Well, the only thing I can do about a candidate is what I do with my own candidacy. And so anybody else can announce, and I can't do anything about it. And if I did, it wouldn't be too smart to do anything about it. And I'm not focused on who might be running for the United States Senate or not. I'm focused on doing my job here. I love my work. I think I prove I love going around Iowa in the 99 counties. I was in 12 counties last week. I've been in 71 so far out of the 99 this year, and I'm still, except for a handful of votes that I missed with COVID in November, I haven't missed a vote since 1993, so I'm on the job. When we aren't in session, I'm home in Iowa. I get to the office at 6 in the morning and usually don't get out of here until 6 or 6:30 in the afternoon. So I'm just focusing on what I'm doing. Back to AJ.
Sir, we're seeing a rise, obviously, now in some mental health issues, especially when we're coming to the farmers who had to deal with the pandemic. Was there any legislation that you've put forward now to kind of help in that mental health area to provide for these individuals to get some services, get some help on their end?
Yeah. It was a Grassley tester bill. Testers from Montana. He and I proposed a bill to equip the Farm Service Agency workers with knowledge so they can detect a farmer that might be stressed, might be a potential suicide. We didn't want to repeat what we did in the 1980s. And if so equipped and they find somebody like that, they can get them some help, because we didn't worry enough about that when we should have. Seth?
Sticking with some agricultural themes then, I know you'd recently said that you would consider sanctions against Russia if it turns out they're behind the cyber attacks on the JBS plants. So obviously there's been a lot of Russian issues like that. And how long do you think that something might take to find out something in a case like that? And what can Congress do in the meantime?
Well, we may never find out. At least when we think the last two big hacks in the United States was caused by criminal elements within Russia. I'm told that Biden is going to speak firmly with Putin about that on June the 16th. That's one way of handling it. If Putin doesn't do anything about it, we can put further sanctions on Russia, then I think we've got to promote more cooperation between business in Iowa, or business in the United States, and the government, because I don't think they share enough information. We have to rely upon the cybersecurity experts within the Homeland Security, which the president has beefed up a task force on cybersecurity and moving forward with that effort. But there's no assurance that I can give you of what might be the case.
As far as your whistleblower program is concerned, sir, how strong is that program right now? Do you think that this is going to be something that is going to set a precedent here, or is it something that is going to just kind of, unfortunately, maybe go by the wayside in favor of what we've been seeing as of late?
No, it's got to be a strong force. If whistleblowers aren't respected, we're not going to know of all the fraud and mismanagement in government. I count on whistleblowers for about 80 to 85% of all the investigations I do. And so anybody that doesn't have respect for whistleblowers isn't very much in support of finding out what's wrong in government. Because when you have 2 million employees of government and you got a department head that's maybe got, like the VA, got 500,000 people, 400,000 people in their agency, if you don't listen to whistleblowers, your job isn't going to be done. Thank you all very much. Goodbye.
Thank you, AJ and Seth, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.